Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are al fresco today. We're at State Fair. Going to be having a crab cake. I've already rolled out the chicken and waffles. This is an old Engelbert Humperdinck.
Are we day drinking today?
As a rule, I don't have an Orange Crush, but as a habit, you know.
Okay, there.
Brooksy.
So it's officially 12:30 somewhere. I'll call it number five. So we're at a state fair and we're celebrating Catonsville, and that's not hard to do with the unofficial official mayor of Catonsville, Don Mueller, for a Baltimore County executive. We're celebrating. Let's see, state fair today. Celebrating Franco's today. The 818. Probably some Atwater's muffins. And some cookies, El Guapo. But springtime and business and places opening and UMBC graduates over here with black and gold balloons screaming.
We had the St. Agnes nurses. We've had everything here.
This is
today.
A day in the life in the 21228, right? It's a beautiful day in the Ville.
It is a beautiful day in the Ville. We're delighted to have long time, hard to believe, we're saying long time Catonsville resident, 30 years, Catonsville businesswoman, Kirby Spencer. Kirby's been actively involved in almost every civic project there is for 30 years. I used to joke with Kirby. Her claim to fame was she lived in the Corbett house. It was never her house, right, Kirby? Certain families, when they live in a home in Catonsville forever, it's always their house. So regardless of who lives there, it's the Corbett. How many years did you live in that house?
I was there 30 years, and it took me...
You were there 30 years, but it was still the Corbett house.
I think the last 5 years I started taking over it. It started becoming the Spencer Corner.
I got to tell Jeff Mueller, Mueller & Gary Realty, this is the Aparicio condo.
The Aparicio condo.
So
20 years from now, they'll be able to say that I live there. Yes,
that's
sure.
Right.
Well, Kirby, thanks for joining us. You have been, I want to jump right in because of your many projects. You were passionate. We're out in the county office building, meeting with county executive cabinets and then with myself, and really one of the people really pushing for Catonsville to become an arts and entertainment district. We got close, weren't able to get it over the finish line.
What does that
mean? Well, we're going to ask Kirby exactly what, because County Executive Reshevsky and his team, we had it teed up, and he was able to actually, I said, we were in the red zone, he was able to score a touchdown. So I love Nestor's question, Kirby. When Catonsville got this designation as the county's first arts and entertainment, it was big news. I mean, it was, why should it be big news?
Well, I mean, as we are talking and listening to your previous guest and all the vibrance of communities and real estate, it is all about an interweaving of everything, business, schools, economic viability.
Safety.
Safety, sustainability. And so a lot of that is very, very intertwined with culture and arts and things like that. So the Baltimore County Arts Guild, which we formed about 8 years ago, really is how it all started. And we were invited to go and look at some other arts and entertainment districts in other points of Maryland. And it really just seemed to be a great fit for what we'd already started here in the late 90s, 2000s for the revitalization of the village. And it was the push that I want, you know, we started under Kevin Cabinets, and that's where we went.
So what does it mean? I want to come back again. So people hear arts and entertainment.
Oh,
district.
Okay.
What does that mean for the county and
why can't you just say you're an arts entertainment district and that be good enough? What?
No, it's an official designation.
Great
correct.
Question.
It's a great question. It is, and it's an official designation that within a decided boundary, businesses that produce or artists that produce art and or sell art. Are able to have tax incentives that are tax-free at the state level. There is the arts and the entertainment amusement tax, which usually can be quite a hefty bill on businesses such as here at State Fair with live music.
Apparently they set up right where we are, right here.
That's right. And
when
well,
I came and said, this is where we set the DJ up, music and whatnot, and I'm like, I haven't been over here after dark.
I know.
Maybe I
know.
Need to stumble
it's
over
hopping.
To Catonsville.
It's
you know?
Hopping after. After Dark.
Oh my gosh! And they're going to start. They've already started live music Friday nights. After our Frederick Road Fridays will be ending, you can roll right over here. I mean, we have live.
I've been to Frederick Road Fridays. I couldn't park.
Oh, we'll find you a parking spot.
That was years ago. It was a long time
ago.
Oh,
we'll find you a parking spot.
I was down there by Piece of Pizza. I was figuring it out.
Well,
you know,
when Kirby talks Frederick Road Fridays, and Kirby, that's what I remember in the early discussions was Catonsville is known as Music City, Maryland. And
why is that?
Well, again, I'll let Kirby jump in. I mean, I think of Bill's, but we've got Appalachian Bluegrass, which is an amazing story.
60 years or so, started by his father and Emery.
Nelson Node and now Emery
Yeah,
Node.
Exactly. And then Bill's music, honestly, I think put us on the map outside of 21228 because he was one of the forefathers of what we now have as online ordering and internet ordering and all that. He was one of the leads in catalog ordering.
He was shipping stuff before shipping was cool.
He was
back
shipping.
Back when Penny's and Sears were doing it.
And the public did not know the famous people that would stop into this town to visit Bill.
Well, that's blown away,
great.
Kirby. Nestor, you would love this story because you're a small business person. So as part of promoting this arts and entertainment district, when Kirby and her team had the Arts Guild had folks from the state come out, there was a tour, and part of the tour ended up at Appalachian Bluegrass
down the street. Yeah.
Emery Node. And I've been going to Appalachian Bluegrass since I was 10 years old, and they actually used to sell, it was actually a little general store at the time. You'd go in and buy sausage and Scrapple. I mean, people don't even remember that part. I mean, really, you buy guitars and Scrapple, right, in the same store.
I'm convinced he makes half of this up.
No.
I'm convinced.
You ask
Gary,
trust me.
That's before me. It was before me.
Trust me, I didn't. So it's not a very big place. It's got these beautiful guitars. So we're talking that day to Emery, and I'm going, Emery, I'm fascinated by this. And he says, well, do you all want to go upstairs? And I'm going, upstairs? I didn't even know there was an upstairs. And actually, Delegate Ebersole, who's going to be here a little while later, was there that day. And he's a guitar player, very good guitar. He's downstairs playing guitars. And he and I look at each other and go, upstairs? Well, it turns out that this little Appalachian Bluegrass right here in the center of Catonsville is one of the major guitar
repair
facilities in the United States of America. Gibson and other major guitar.
Taylor. Yep.
Bill Taylor sent their guitars to be repaired from all over the United States. And he has some of the few craftsmen left that know how to fix these vintage guitars. And it's right. It's this kind. So when you say, why Music
City,
Maryland?
See, now I want to get that guy on the show, right? Because, right. I mean, people fix the guitars.
Guy.
I mean,
and absolutely.
And again, it's evidently a very, very specific skill set. So it gets us to Music City, Maryland. So at the same time, Kirby's been very much involved in the local real estate market. And Kirby, you have a building that, or a couple of buildings that house some of the most successful businesses here in the village, in Atwaters, that many, many people are familiar with, and people are becoming more and more familiar with. And I'm going to have you describe the next one, Pat's Porch, because it's one of the most unique little shops, you know,
it
on
is.
The planet.
It's a wonderful, wonderful little shop of gift buying, and a lot of it is
local person, right?
Local person raised here in town, and you know, a lot of iconic kind of things about Catonsville and the Southwest area, and then Baltimore, Greater Baltimore. A lot of handmade gifts,
great candy
from artists, old school candy that you'd remember back in the
60s. Yeah, I parked my car right in front of there. I ran into Franco's and got a bookie and a pizza the other day, but I like the muffins at Atwater, so right. I grabbed the muffin and a cookie.
There you
are. From Ned over
right.
there.
That's
so, yeah,
right.
So I actually had that cookie this morning with some Rofo coffee. Well, I lied. A chicken and waffles was not my breakfast. I had a cookie from Atwater's.
But it's I'm amazed at how many people in the area are familiar now with Pat's Porch. I had some friends come in, mm-hmm. Maybe 6-8 weeks ago and have lunch here. And they're from, one's from Perry Hall and one was from another part of the county. And they both said, oh, man, before we leave, we have to go up to Pat's Porch. And I was like,
when
wow.
did it open?
She's been open 5 years now.
5 years now. So I would say to you, you know, we started Baltimore Positive 2.5 years ago here in this parking lot, which still sort of looked like a Friendly's. People remembered it as that, right? And I don't think Evan was open 3 or 4 months when we started our relationship with him. And Don, you know, is always optimistic about Catonsville. And, you know, we're running into various molars here at various points. But it's like, there's going to be this 818 market. And Lou Weinkamp's taking over Franco's. And, oh, we got, we're going to put El Guapo across the street and have some fun with the logo. I mean, all of this stuff just starts to happen, right?
Yep.
And then COVID, boom, hits, right? Even before 818 gets going. And amidst COVID, masks, social distancing, we're now sitting under a tent that didn't exist before, right? 818's open with my buddy Jason Seamer strumming out on the back porch. So much has happened in the 2.5 years since Baltimore Positive started that did not exist. I mean, right here, Fadley's is coming. That didn't exist 2.5 years ago.
I like that question. I like where you're going with that. And I want to turn to Kirby.
Well, you blink and things change.
Well, and I have full disclosure, right? And you know, I'm with Jim Smith starting in 2003, his whole term of renaissance and rebuilding our older commercial revitalization districts. I would like to be able to tell you that 20 years ago, I could have envisioned this for the Catonsville Village. I'm going to be upfront and tell you, I did not see this coming.
It wasn't like this when I was in
your parade. That's why I'm going
to
turn to Kirby.
I was in a parade with you, right? Maybe 06, 07, 08. Jen and I rode in a parade. And I remember coming through here. And Don and I have been friends since 1982. I've been my friend Tom Kapp lived over here off Bloomsbury. Right. Like, I've been coming through here.
Tennessee lives up the street.
Yeah, I mean, I've been for years, you know, coming through here. And I stopped at Bill's. I mean, I needed DJ equipment. And, you know, probably that speaker came from Bill's in the car. But this last 2.5 years has been eye-opening.
In the
middle of a plague.
Well, that's why I want to ask Kirby.
In the middle of a plague.
As a businesswoman for the past 30 years, I'm full disclosure, even when Smith talked about it, even when my good friend Jim Smith talked about it, I thought, man, I hope he's right. But I'm not sure.
1998 is the year I bought my first two buildings here on Frederick Road. And my former husband was raised in Gaithersburg, and I was raised in Alexandria, Virginia, right above Old Town. So we came here.
So this isn't home for you.
It's not home for me, born and bred, but it was the vision that I saw, and working with Sam Boxley, our former county councilman, in the revitalization zone and getting us activated as a community member with the Catonsville 2000 study, really looking at the potential, I could see it. And so, actually, my husband and I were the first to jump in, besides McFarland. During the revitalization, we were the first to really sort of be the new ownership into properties here, and it was...
Well, I'm from Dundalk, to give you an example, and these communities were not drastically different, right?
No,
25, class of 85, downtown Dundalk, with some love, with the right jobs, with a point and a G, with that, I always saw the Strand and where the old police station. You know what I'm talking about, Dan, that area there, there's been people coming in with ice cream shops and various things, and I always dreamed of, like, how Andy Griffith is, how Mayberry it could be.
That's what Kevin Cabanis used to say. What's in the water in Catonsville?
All the time he said it, right?
2008, we actually sailed through pretty well in that crash. And more business people would ask, as I worked around the county on different projects, what's in the water in Catonsville? And my description of Catonsville is Mayberry RFP with a little bit of Peyton Place. But, you know, it's ownership of either the properties or the businesses, probably 80% to 85% of locals.
And locals that
own it, and we believe in it. It's that small town mentality to get out there and work it.
And I want to pick up on that, what Kirby just said about the local. Because I don't want the history of this to get lost. There are a couple of couple of folks who really deserve some shout-outs. And I'm not going to name all those folks who
this doesn't just happen. It's people.
No. And it goes back, as she said, to Catonsville 2000, which Catonsville 2000 was actually formed back in the 90s.
Right.
So they were talking about looking to 2000. But we sit here not far from State Fair. Nestor is a huge building where the Baltimore County and Maryland State Department of Social Services is located. And Kirby, as a businesswoman, knows the key to everything is getting what they call feet on the street.
Right.
Well, again, we mentioned in another segment, former Catonsville business person responsible for a lot of the development in Catonsville, a gentleman named Tom Booth,
yep.
passed away far too early.
Yep.
Tom actually could have made significantly more money on this building had he waited and tried to rent it, as opposed to move social services that was located at that time up in an old grocery store.
A&P
yeah. grocery store up on Frederick Road. They were looking for space. Right, exactly. But Tom recognized, and there were a lot of discussions, that for the good of the village, having a long-term client like social services in this building back here would put feet on the street. So he probably he could have made much more where they were. And Delegate Eric Eversole just jumping in. He's going to join us shortly. But he could have made a lot more money, but he didn't. He held out, and he wanted to do this because it would put feet on the street. The other person that gets lost in the shuffle, because it's been a while now, is another local Catonsville businessman, Craig Witzke, who mm-hmm. bought an old hardware store where Catonsville Gourmet is now. And much like we talked about what happened here at State Fair, a lot of folks out there in our listening audience very familiar with Catonsville Gourmet, one of the really successful, early successful restaurants here in Catonsville.
I think it was the critical point. It was our critical mass.
It was the turning point.
It was a critical mass when Catonsville Gourmet came in.
And Craig talked to me a lot at that time. He had a number, and I don't want to be judgmental about the other offers, but he had, when you own a property, Kirby's a businesswoman, she'll tell you, every month you don't have a tenant, the cash flow, you know, Nestor.
I know all about it.
You're a small business person. Cash flow becomes an issue. It would have been very easy for Craig to jump at some of the offers that came his way that would have paid rent but would have added nothing to the ambiance. And he felt all along that Catonsville could support a really nice restaurant in a different way than what we had had for years.
And apparently can support several.
And that was the key. That was the thing.
That was a vision that he really had. It was amazing. And, you know, and again, it's ownership and people of those kind that are local that saw the bigger picture and was willing to work it, you know, work that vision. Again, understanding that there's an intertwine of culture and arts and all of that that we're so lucky to have right now, with a combination of the universities. I mean, we've got CCBC and UMBC.
Well, UMBC's graduating 20 feet away.
Right.
Over here.
Yes.
I got 10 girls jumping up, down. Every couple minutes a name gets yelled, and they're watching virtually. So the weird things that happen.
You
know, the families here are watching because they can't be in
home. And one of the things that I'm very proud of, and actually when we get the delegate up here in a little while, we'll talk about this. Nestor, occasionally... how do I say this? Occasionally when I was in office and we were talking about important social issues in other areas of the county, I remember a great Facebook post sometime where someone went after me and they said, yeah, maybe Mulwer ought to have a home with shelter and a bus stop near where he lives. And luckily somebody jumped on Facebook and said, you may want to go check out where Don Mulwer lives, because he has a homeless shelter about 3/4 of a mile from where he lives, and he has a bus stop
at the end of his street.
So before you say something like that, and the point being that people don't say anything about the Department of Social Services being located here. They recognize, Kirby's alluded to it, that it's a collection of all this, and we're proud of the fact that we have the Men's Homeless Shelter here in Spring Grove. We've got people all throughout Catonsville go down and contribute and try to embrace that Men's Homeless Shelter. That's what makes this such a truly diverse place to live and such a rich place to live. So it really is, Kirby, as you say, there's so much to offer here. And now you're involved with you're looking towards Guinness, which we're also proud of here in the southwest part of Canada. And you've got a big festival that's going to be taking
place
there.
When's that happening?
Yeah, that's going to be in August. We are, as we go forward in the future, because we truly believe this will build to be a regional tourism project of the Baltimore County Arts Guild, being hosted by the Guinness Open Gate.
Alcohol-free, of course, right?
Well, any family-friendly.
That's why I'm going, right?
It's family-friendly.
Okay, good. All right, then I'll be there.
So we'll have all kinds of things going on. But the Guild recognized not only the importance of an arts and entertainment district, which we're going to be naming ours Catonsville Arts District. This project came up, and we're really, really excited about it, and working with tourism and Diageo, the parent company, and the Guinness. And so it'll be a Friday night kickoff with live concert. A live concert on Friday night, and we'll have and we can't announce the bands yet because we're in we're finalizing those contracts, but it's a regional things and it's going to be a regional draw. And then on Saturday and Sunday we will have over 60 artist booths and live music on a performance stage set up that'll be going on and off over those 2 days. It's going to be exciting.
Fantastic.
Tell Oliver to have the cherry or the blueberry on for me.
Okay.
And I don't know what's in season in August. Maybe just regular. Just regular's fine.
And
I'm good with the regular
well,
stuff.
And you
designing.
Know the other big news, Kirby, and I know you've been a big supporter forever. Last year, we lost Frederick Road Fridays, and Kirby alluded to it earlier in the show. July the 9th, right? July the 9th, people will be rocking and rolling again right down here, right down the street. Frederick Road Fridays will be back, Nestor. I think Baltimore Positive will be making an appearance at Frederick Road Fridays.
Oh, you must.
I'm going to be over El Guapo at some point, hanging out. Right, I see that balcony when they showed it to me. I'm wearing a mask. It's 28 degrees. I'm like, one day.
That's where you need to be.
One day.
For the parade.
One day my drink will be sweating.
For the July parade.
It'll just be, I can't get a seat. I mean, I don't know anybody.
Did you like that Orange Crush? Was that for Brooks?
This isn't real Orange Crush. Was a real Orange Crush.
Orange.
But live music is coming, and live music's coming as I've told you,
I'm the one
you,
drinking on the set. He's the one talking to guests. Well,
I know.
Off the set. Imagine that.
You know,
imagine what he would be like at the Guinness event.
I'm out of control. Yeah. Well, I want you to talk, and we're going to...
Because we've got live music showing up in many corners of Catonsville.
Well, I want to let you go in a minute, and I know... Yeah. I know nothing's final, and you've got your eye on some things. But you've got a concept that I've heard you talk about to add to the Music City, Maryland, about one thing that's sort of missing, and then you're intrigued trying to find the right place. What's that all about?
Well, we have, obviously, this wonderful outdoor venues, Frederick Road Fridays, Lerman Theater. We've got State Fair doing outdoor live music. But where is that indoor live music venue that can continue through 12 months out of the year? So we're really excited. We have the Baltimore County Arts Guild has been blessed to take over the Old Women's Club on St. Timothy Lane. We've got a lovely 5,000-square-foot building there that has class space and also has a small event venue in there. And then there's another location.
So there's going to come a night 2 years from now where there's going to be 15 different musical things. It's going to be like Fells Point in that way.
Absolutely. Rooftop decks. We're going to have rooftop decks here. We got Fadley's coming in that's going to be doing an event space on the second floor that I just spent an hour with her walking through the facility. Well, it's going to be a 300-plus capacity.
Kirby, I said if people are familiar with, and I know people, if people are familiar with Rams Head Annapolis,
yeah,
and if Fadley's on the second floor doesn't become bigger and better than Rams Head Annapolis, I'm going to be shocked. It's one of the most spectacular, you just toured it, one of the most spectacular event space. I tell folks, if you're looking at a wedding about 18 months or 2 years from now, you may want to be reaching out to Damie Hahn right now, because you're not going to be able to get this.
Well, you can reach her and ship some crab cakes. Yeah. Our first crab cake store was there. So I'll end it with this. We're getting the crab cakes here today. Have you had the crab cake at State Fair?
I have not had their crab cake yet.
All right. I'm just checking because I know I've had the one at Jennings up the street. I'm just trying to think of the places in here.
That's a good
one. And I've told Don this when I did the crab cake tour. is that in every community that where there are restaurants, everyone will have a crab cake that they're proud of. Everyone will.
Yep.
So
even my grandmother.
Absolutely. And by the way, shout out for music. I'm going to the Wrecker Theater on Saturday night.
All right, Brian Wrecker.
To see the Rush tribute band.
UMBC cheering
UMBC
again.
UMBC is another graduate. All right, she's got a cap and gown on.
Go Retrievers.
Go Retrievers. Dogs.
Go.
Dogs. Everybody's cheering. This is almost like being at a real graduation. So yeah, I'm getting back at my first live music events this weekend in Towson.
Fantastic.
So there you go.
Nice to know I come over here and maybe see some shows.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All and right. I want to do a shout out to Barb Cox, our president at the Baltimore County Arts Guild, Tom Moore, who is the director of culture and arts over at UMBC. He is our chair of the Arts and Entertainment District. And, you know, it was a seed that started at a chamber meeting when Jack Murphy had visited my old hometown and saw the Torpedo Factory. And that is actually, he kept saying, a Torpedo Factory type facility in Catonsville would be amazing, which is art studios and event space and all that. And of course, our wish and mission is that the old elementary school eventually becomes something like that. But who knows?
We'll see.
Well, we have a wonderful, wonderful supportive administration with Johnny O, and it's been refreshing. It's really
a pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much, Kirby.
Thanks so much. Thanks for everything you've done for Catonsville for the past, I hate to say it, 3 decades now. Doesn't seem possible. And we actually, as I said, it was no longer known as the Corbett Home. It actually became known as Spencer's Corner. So that means you have arrived.
I have arrived.
Catonsville forever. We're in the 21228. I'm one Orange Crush down. I'm Chicken and Waffles down. And the crab cakes are coming a little later on. Big appreciation, everybody, for following our Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be doing it with Brandon Scott, Johnny O, Dutch Rupersburgers joining us on June 18th at Pizza John's.
Stuart Pittman, Barry Glassman, the list goes on and on.
So says our executive producer, who talks to guests off mic in the middle of my show.
Every now and then.
Has no idea how it angers my blood. Reminds me of when I had to visit your vice principal's office back in 84. We are WNBC.